All right, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join Adam and I this week, Thursday, to get in on the action. Buddy, got a packed podcast here following game one of the NBA Finals. Hit us with the beats.
First and foremost, we feel like we're missing out on something here as Brooklyn Nets fans and the NBA Finals get underway. We do then talk about game one between the Suns and the Bucks, and ultimately the legacy piece for Chris Paul, for Giannis, and what it means, and how much do Doug and I really care about that side of it. It's all coming up though, right?
Oh, it is all coming up, and I also screw up a movie quote, and I'm so bummed about it. So see, you can go listen to the podcast and see where you can figure out where I misquoted someone from a movie. An absolute embarrassing moment for me. All of that, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I am Doug Norrie. If you need a projection for FanDuel or DraftKings, head on over to DFSR.com, owner-operator over there. And that is Adam Armbrecht, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets over on Sportscaster, also the host of the One Giant podcast, where he and his boy Andy Mack are getting you ready for the New York Giants football season, everything else about the team as well. Buddy, how are we doing on the morning after game one of the finals?
Feeling good. Heck of a game. But not going to lie to you, as the kids would say, some chance that I'm experiencing a bit of they've heard of it as FOMO, I believe. Fear of missing out, oh, I think FOMO is the phrase that people use. Yeah, because
I know it well.
I listen, I don't know where Nets fans fall, but I still, as soon as the finals started, I still think, well, why not us? Shouldn't we be in the driver's seat of a championship right now?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I was going to wonder if you're having that feeling. I had a little bit of that feeling, but was it more that even just like kind of going back and seeing how the season played out, specifically how the playoffs played out, maybe even specifically that it was the Bucks, because we talked about it at the moment, saying, okay, well, if the Nets can't win, now it has to be the Bucks because that's who we lost to. And so, and that was been kind of the that's not the reason. I'm rooting for Giannis super hard, but that's not the reason I wanted the Bucks. But then I'm watching the Bucks take the court. We're going to talk a little bit about the game too, but I'm watching the Bucks take the court, and I was having that feeling of like, oh man, this would be nice. It'd be nice to have, you know, Van Gundy and Mark Jackson and Breen talking about the, you know, what Kevin Durant's going to bring to the series, or how they're going to stop him, and you know, what do they have? How can they match up with James Harden, and how can, you know, what are they going to do with Kyrie? Like, that was, I did have these moments of, and what'd you call it? Like, should have been us. Yeah, I mean, it should have been something like, it was like something like that. Yeah, little pangs of regret. I was wondering if you were feeling the same thing.
Yeah, just, you know, and I think again, it's easier, you know, if you lose in the first round, second round, the conference finals, but it's all around kind of this sense of just, hey, a heck of a season, and you're just waiting to see, can you win the next series? Can you get to the next step? You know, as you mentioned at the top, like as a Giants fan, and when you're a mid-level sports team fan and they come out of nowhere on one of these runs, it's the surprise and the excitement of it. To some extent, as we talked about all season long, like there was an expectation, health permitting, that the Nets were just going to be there in the finals. So I think that that's the part of it where even in the Eastern Conference Finals, when I'm watching the Bucks and the Hawks and the Bucks are winning, and like you said, I can root for Giannis. I can get behind those other storylines. But I watched that series and I thought, well, come on, it's the Nets though. Nets against the Hawks, the Nets are winning. They're going on here. And now you see this, and I just immediately start wrapping my head around, what would the matchups have been like if Brooklyn's on the court right now? How would they try to adjust to Booker or to Chris Paul? What are the defensive assignments going to be? Like, all of those things just come up because on paper, you know how talented the Nets are, and you know that they... I mean, I don't know. You know that they would win. I still feel like there's just very few teams you're going to tell me that were going to come out of the West that I was going to say, oh boy, it's a shame. What a run for the Nets. We'll try to get them next year. I was never going to have that sense if Kevin Durant, Harden, and even most of Kyrie Irving was on the floor.
Well, and it's just, I mean, not to get like overly philosophical here, but you do start to think about these things like, you know, not your own mortality, but your own about how what time is really like, especially when it comes to sports, because you think to yourself, oh, you know, it's been two full seasons, almost to the day, actually, to when they signed Kyrie and KD. And you're like, okay, you know, going to bring championships to Brooklyn, and this is what's going to happen. And then the first season's obviously a wash, and the second season's a disappointment. And we talked earlier in the week about, you know, the idea that they'll probably re-sign all three. So I think there's going to be time, but time isn't infinite, right? And it's like, when your goal is the championship, you don't get too many bites at the apple, right? And we knew that the first season was going to be kind of a throwaway season anyway, with the Achilles on KD and all that other stuff. But then the second season, when it's all supposed to be put together, is when you start thinking like, oh, okay, well, that season's gone now. No one's getting, you know, to quote everyone's parents and now myself, because I'm old too, no one's getting any younger here. And so so now all of a sudden you look at it and you think, oh, well, you know, time can sort of flit away on you, and it doesn't take much for it to happen. So that when you think you were right on the doorstep, which I think the Nets clearly were. It's weird to say you lost in the Eastern Conference semifinals and to think you were on the doorstep. But I think we can agree, like you said, like this was a kind of different season, right? Where I don't think that there's no issue at all with the Hawks, even in the compromised state of how the Nets were. So, yeah, it does. It gets you that little pang of, you know, is it next season or bust now? I mean, like I said, life comes at you. I didn't say it. Wooderson said it. Life comes at you fast. like it's one of these things where I just don't. Yeah, I don't know. Now I'm feeling bummed. Now I'm feeling old.
Hey, Suns and Bucks fans. It's not really about you guys, but we're feeling pretty bummed over here. But the thing is, too, is we talk about the sense of coming into the season. You're right, like 2 years into this now experiment, and then you add in James Harden. But the way that you felt this year, the collective you, Nets fans, it is all predicated on the results you were seeing and this small sample size you got with the Stars. Is it almost a foregone conclusion how dominant this team will be next season with some little changes to the roster and everybody getting healthy? Yeah, it's almost a foregone conclusion, but you don't know if three quarters of the way through next year, something else may have happened, that the pieces may just look a little bit different, not even for Brooklyn, for other teams, and maybe there'll be other obstacles in the Nets' way next year that makes you feel a little bit less bullish on what the prospects are. And then to your point, you're in year three, and maybe we're not as confident. So when you feel like you miss an opportunity, whether it's through poor play or through things you can't prevent, like injuries that the Nets suffered, it just there's no way around it. We're 2 years in. Even if you re-sign them, now you're 3 years in. Now everyone is another year older. Now you are wondering, how do you replace, maybe, as we're going to continue to get into, some of the supporting role players. So I don't know. I guess this isn't the way. This isn't the way to start an NBA Finals, a little bit of a tease here, coverage on the start of the podcast. But like you said, I'm bummed out. All right, how's everyone doing, you know?
Yeah, I was actually feeling good actually watching the game. I felt those little pangs of it. For sure, but you know, for me, in terms of the rooting for the NBA, there's definitely storylines I'm for sure rooting for here. Like, we'll talk about Chris Paul here in a second. Yeah. We'll talk about Giannis. I actually kind of struggled a little bit because I was thinking I kind of want both these teams to win. I love both the stories. I love both the players.
Well, that's not how sports work, Doug.
I know. Well, no kid. Well, if sports worked the way you wanted it to work out too, then I would just, you know, like I said, would have penciled the Nets in here. We'd be having a very different podcast, but that's just the way it goes. All right. I want to talk about Chris Paul here in a second. We can talk a little bit about legacy and how it actually relates to some of these guys on the Nets as well, because I think it's interesting. This is from a sort of a storybook point of view, this is an interesting finals, then it actually has implications around how players are viewed and how players are viewed throughout the league and some of these guys reside on the Nets. And I think it's kind of important to examine as we kind of roll through the finals here. First, going to talk to you about Green Room. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. It used to be Locker Room, now it's Spotify Green Room. First social audio platform made for sports fans, totally free app to download. But once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, insiders in real time about your favorite team, Brooklyn Nets, or any sport, NBA. We're going to be hosting a room tomorrow, Thursday, 6 p.m. on Spotify Green Room. That's Locked On Nets. Spotify Green Room at 6 p.m. on Thursday. So you can come in and join the conversation every day. Green Room is a perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll have a chance to chat with us, and we'll be recording part of our podcast through the Green Room conversation. Like I said, join us Thursday, 6 p.m. Go download the Green Room app right now, currently on iOS devices. Create a profile, link to Twitter. Join the NBA group and follow us at Locked On Nets. And we can't wait to see everyone in there. Spotify Green Room, 6 p.m. Thursday. Green Room, changing the way we talk about sports.
So, outside of the Nets fans feeling maybe like we're missing out on something, there also was an NBA Finals that started last night. And, the game itself, it was funny. Some people said on Twitter around Giannis and him playing or not, went from doubtful. Oh, yeah. Not, it was like the James Harden kind of vibe. Doubtful. There's no way this guy's getting out there. Questionable. Going to see how warm-ups go. And then ultimately he does get out there.
Can I say one thing about that? The difference between him and the James Harden vibe is that Giannis actually looked really healthy. Like he looked.
Yes. yeah, this wasn't. This looked like, this wasn't James Harden who looked like he was a horse trying to like limp his way back out of the barn. He's like, nah, guys, come on, get me out there. I'm ready to trot, yeah, fellas, like, as he has three legs. Giannis actually looked good. He just looked tired,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, from a health and movement standpoint, he looked totally fine. I mean, he had a couple, there was one time where it was pretty early on, maybe like the first 4 minutes, where he caught the ball in like sort of a mini transition, pivoted, and then went back up for the dunk. And I was like, oh, he's fully healthy. Oh, no, excuse me, it wasn't a dunk. He outletted it to the corner, the three. It doesn't matter. It was the movement that he had where he had to kind of change, like sort of midstream, plant, and move. And I'm like, okay, if you're doing that, like, so if you look at that as compared to like James Harden, who, you know, I think it was game 6 or 7 where he caught the ball and then literally just stopped, even though he was wide open running to the court, because he's like, well, can't do that. like that's, I'm not blaming Harden. Like, I'm so glad he toughed it out, but it just was the key difference of when you look at a guy who goes from doubtful to questionable to game, you usually think like the Harden or Anthony Davis thing, right? Where it's like, I'm going to be an absolute shell of myself. I'm going out there because I'm going to gut out a win, and my team, a 60% me, is better than 100% of almost every other guy on the team. That was not the case here. I did not believe, at least with Giannis. He looked totally fine, which is really good. Even despite the result in this game, I think for the rest of the series gives you hope that that this can be actually a competitive series. Yeah, so I mean, crazy story to go from that knee injury to playing a week later. That's nuts. these guys are just built different, man.
Well, but. Oh, yeah, and it's just interesting to see the way some guys come back from those types of injuries, and they talked about it on the broadcast, but as we're talking about the road to the finals and our NBA playoff coverage, it's obviously brought to you by Michelob Ultra, and it's only worth it if you enjoy it at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. We can all enjoy the games just a little bit more this season. And speaking of those bold predictions, it was like 5 to 6 or something was the scoreline right at the start of the first quarter, and I just put out the tweet, because I like to get myself in the mix. I said, listen, if I'm picking, I'm going Bucks in 6. Now, I don't know if that's going to hold up, given the way the first game went. But what was your general impressions of this first game? Let's say that a little limited in terms of energy and how long he could go as far as Giannis was concerned. But for the most part, you got to look at what this series is going to be like and who the key players are going to be on both sides. I know we're going to get into the legacy side of it for a lot of these dudes, but what did you see at the start of this game that feels like tangible game storylines over the next, hopefully, 5 or 6 games?
I mean, if you're a Chris Paul fan, like we are, and most anyone that really that follows NBA is a Chris Paul fan. The only detractors around Chris Paul are sort of like fair weather, hot take sort of guys and gals. There's no one that actually likes the NBA and actually watches basketball that hasn't loved this guy for years. So this is not a new statement. I know this has kind of come out more recently around him, just because, like, you know, he's here in the finals and he's had such a season and he literally turned this team into a finals contender by himself. But Chris Paul, for him to go out in his first finals game and just completely dominate was so awesome, because, and they did it in a specific way where you kind of, there was a question mark about whether this is going to be a problem for the Bucks. And Chris Paul basically said, this is going to be a problem, which was, if you were going to have Brooke Lopez on the court with me, I might as well hold a sign up that says, and you're going to switch and not drop coverage, which they really couldn't do because Paul picked that apart also. Like, if he might as well just held a sign up and just like announced with a bullhorn switching on to Brook. Like, because they did it every single time between him and Booker. They got him. I mean, I guess I'm maybe overstating a little bit, but it might as well have been every single time down the court. As long as the Bucks decided that they were going to switch, then the switch was going to land Brook on one of the two guards, usually Paul, and he just absolutely diced them into shreds with that. And it was over and over, and to the point where they had to take him off the court. Really, like they couldn't keep playing him because he was out in the perimeter every single time when they were switching. The Bucks, he was out in the perimeter every single time. One of those two guys, usually Chris, would back him out and then decide either shoot with a step back over him, that would go in, drive back into the lane on him, and then force someone to come and help, and then it would be like a lob to Ayton. That worked every single time. So it was just this. It was this kind of thing over and over. Then they started playing the drop coverage, and then that just got them mid-range jump shots. It really was like a total dissection on the part of the Suns on specifically Lopez. And they'll keep playing him because this is Coach Bud, and I don't think we need to worry about, oh, is Coach Bud going to make a change? The answer is no. But I thought that the Chris Paul, the game plan clearly was like, well, if you're going to have him out there, this is what's going to happen, so good luck. And Chris just did it, I mean, literally every possession. It was awesome. And so to watch just a guy who's an absolute master at his craft figure out the team's weakness right away, and it's not a secret, other teams have done this as well, but to figure out the other team's weakness and just attack it sort of like a serial killer was pretty awesome as a guy who kind of just like is rooting pretty hard for this guy to win.
Well, and it's funny too, because from a Chris Paul standpoint, just initially, I think crucial for him to have a really solid, sound game one, right? Because again, this is his first opportunity to finally get a championship. So you don't want to have that kind of mental pressure building up. Not that I think Chris Paul is really one to crack under that. But then on the Brook Lopez piece, it's weird to have a team in the Bucks that so much of their identity is on their defensive intensity and the way they can ratchet it up. And I know that Lopez isn't necessarily, you know, the cornerstone of that process by any stretch. But when you have when a team can look at a liability like Lopez and say, well, as long as we have one of the, not, and Chris Paul is one of the best point guards, but as long as we have a pretty solid point guard and good off the ball movement, it's just, and we can get into the switches that we want. Boy, this is a really exposable matchup time and time again. And whether or not they can try to avoid those switches a little bit, it feels weird that the Bucks have this weakness in something that is one of their biggest strengths. And we've seen them at times, and this is really one of the things I thought about during the game, was for a team that we watched, even against the Nets in their hobbled state, ratchet up the defensive intensity for big chunks of the game when they chose to. And we talked about this during the year with the Nets and what it was going to look like in the playoffs. I just wonder how, if you're a Bucks team or any team really that has the ability to turn it on that end of the floor, you have to find a way to dig into that in the first quarter, in the second quarter. You have to find a way to disrupt the offensive flow of a team like the Suns much earlier than when you try to make a late run, because by the time you make that late push, these guys have already found their rhythm, and now it's just about overcoming a little speed bump in the process, as opposed to getting them off their spots early and then seeing if you can work your way into your rhythm as the game moves along. One of the things I thought about too, as I get just a little long-winded, not like this podcast ever does that, Kevin Durant talked about it when he was coming back from injury, of being able to sit and observe and then build himself into the game flow. If you put out a different tempo and a different flow, that's how you're supposed to disrupt the other team. And it just felt like Milwaukee is willing to, or at least in the game one, to walk in and say, let's just get into this and see how the style of game unfolds, as opposed to try to dictate tempo a little bit more. Because again, top to bottom, I'd say the Bucks have more talent throughout their roster than the Suns do.
It's really hard when the Suns have figured out something offensively to dictate tempo with them, because Chris Paul is so methodical that you will play the pace that if something's working for them, you will play the pace that he wants you to play at, which is slow pretty much. Like, I know they put up 118 points, but this is a team that like they'll get into transition every once in a while, but not tons. It's mostly just like what you see. It's like this methodical breakdown of the other team, which is like, which is basically what he did. So it's actually hard to dial up the defensive intensity when you are running like sort of these ISO high screen switches, right? Because then it's not like you can't really ball hawk at that point. It's like, well, you're just going to let Chris Paul to go figure out what he wants to do. And then this is why like this mid-range game for some of these guys is so important. Like that's why KD is so hard, right? It's like really hard to dictate pace against KD when a guy can kind of get to any spot on the court and sort of make a shot. Those kind of guys are really hard to like get defensive intensity against, because it's like, well, the defensive intensity is going to come down to the guy that's guarding him, and the guy's usually at a huge disadvantage, right? Like, so I think like from that point of view, it is hard. It's not like these, it's not like there's one of these up and down games where we're flying all over the court. They can do that, but against guys, specific kind of guys who are very methodical on ball guys, it is very hard. It's very difficult to do that. So I'm with you. I still think it's a close series. I don't think the series is over by any means. I think this was, you know, this is game one. This is kind of how it goes. And these other teams, the Bucks are good. And so I think we're in for a really good series, especially when it gets back to Milwaukee. But in terms of the dictation of style, like Chris Paul is one of the masters at, like, you're just going to kind of play the way I want to play. And you can see if you can outscore me. All right, we'll talk about legacy here in a second, because I think it's, you had some interesting, I think, thoughts about, you know, where this stands as opposed to some of the Nets guys as well. First, going to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar. Limited time right now, Built Bar, the Built Grasshopper Cookie. If you're a fan of the Thin Mint, I think if you're not a fan of the Thin Mint, we can't hang out. So there's that. So, but if you are a fan of the Thin Mint, which should be just about everybody in the world, the Built Grasshopper Cookie is for you. But it's not going to be here forever. Limited time, just July 6th through the 9th. So we got to get in on that. The clock's ticking here, folks, on the Built Grasshopper Cookie. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, only 5 grams of sugar. And when you're ordering that, just go grab one of the other flavors as well. Mint brownie, double chocolate, strawberry, orange. It's all there for you at Built Bar. And then you get the stats that you want to hear on the best protein bar out there. 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories ranging from just 130 to 180. Only 4 to 5 grams of grams of sugar. That wasn't just for the Grasshopper Cookie, folks. That was for all of the flavors. Only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Order today. Get the Grasshopper Cookie or another flavor of your choosing, whatever you like. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com.
And of course, got to remind you about our friends over at betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Obviously, we know that the NBA Finals are in full swing. You're going to be able to get over there and probably get favorable odds on taking Milwaukee in game number 2, if you're so inclined. Plus, you've got the MLB season in full swing. You can get all the latest news, odds, and information on your sporting needs, including that baseball season, those NBA Finals, the NHL Finals, and UFC and MMA action as well. Before the next pitch, before the next tip-off, before the puck drops, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or that little mobile device in your pocket and check out the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in on the game as teams continue their deep finals run. Head on over to the website, and you can receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts, promo code locked on. Legacy, Douglas, if I may. We know, we were talking highlighting Chris Paul there. I think there's a big legacy component to the finals for him. But there's a couple of elements here. The two biggest names are Chris Paul and Giannis. And these finals are legacy pieces for very different reasons for each of them individually. But when I look at, of course, tying it in back into the Nets, when I look at James Harden, I see Chris Paul. I see a guy that has done everything you kind of need to do as far as a career, checked all the boxes, and now it's just about if you think that winning a championship is a necessity to truly being one of the all-time greats in NBA history, Chris Paul needs to check that box. And that's really what we thought we were building towards this year for the Nets, was James Harden finally just checking that box off after a lot of opportunities and maybe some bad luck when he was in Houston, when he had Chris Paul with him, away from being able to have won that together, which would have been an interesting little footnote to history. But how do you... How do you look at, I know how you look at Chris Paul, but do you look at Chris Paul and think about James Harden in that same way as two guys at a certain point of their career ready to just check that last box before they say, yeah, I'm one of the all-timers?
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because like this list of guys is short. You only get to this, you only ascend to this final discussion when you've just been great, right? We're not going to sit here and talk about if Bobby Portis's legacy is going to be cemented in this finals, because who cares, right? It'd be nice if he won, I guess, but there's only a certain group of guys at this point that get to the level of, there's only one last thing for me to do, right? And so
yeah, understood greatness in every other aspect.
Yeah, because it's what you are is you basically have to be a top 10 player at some point in your career. Right, it's like it doesn't need to be right in this moment, but at some point in your career, you need to have been within the top 10, maybe even the top 5 of best players in the game. And did you get to win a championship? For some of these guys, did you even get there? Because that's actually where Chris Paul and James Harden overlap is that neither of them. Well, I take that back. Harden made the finals with OKC, but I don't think anyone really counts that because he was the sixth man and he was great, but it wasn't his team by any means. I think it's. Can you get to the finals when it's, you know, your team, quote unquote? And so, Harden has been to the finals. No, I don't think anyone puts that on his resume as having been to the finals when it comes to this discussion. So, yeah, I think that level of guy, once you've kind of done everything else, you've carried your team, you've put up all the stats, you put up historical stats, you've done everything. Now you need to check the box of, well, could you do it when it really mattered? I think this conversation is mostly overblown. I mostly like to have it done with, so I never have to talk about it for these guys again. that's kind of where I land with why I care about it. I don't care from the actual, like Chris Paul winning a championship would not change, or losing the championship would not change my opinion at all of Chris Paul. It doesn't. For me, it's really neither here nor there. As someone that talks about hoops every single day, I love when we can just move past it, and the best way to move past it is just have the guy win. So and that's kind of where I'm rooting for both teams, because I'm thinking it wouldn't be bad to check both these dudes off the list when it comes to kind of idiotic, that's overstating it. Useless conversation about legacy and how great they are when only one team gets to win something every year. So that's where I would like to just have maybe just pile all these guys together on one team, go have them win the championship, and we can be done with it. But that's kind of where I am with the legacy piece. And I agree with you, Harden needs to do it also, because it's just part of the conversation, unfortunately.
Yeah, and there's only, you said it before, there's only so many NBA championships to win. There's been far more great NBA players than there have been championships to win. So you know that some players are going to miss out. The interesting thing is, and Chris Paul has already dispelled it, I think I'm in the same boat as you as far as, do I really care about this, you know, who's better, LeBron or Jordan, and well, how many finals did one go to or the not, and all those things. I really don't. I love watching the game, and I love just knowing in my own mind I'm watching one of the greatest players to do it. You know that that's Chris Paul as far as point guards in NBA history. This is one of the best to have ever done it. So I feel comfortable taking that. And the fact that he had a really nice game one in the finals as well gives you every indication, I think, to your point, even if the Suns lost the finals, well, Chris Paul's clearly going to perform at a high level. So maybe I could say it feels a little bit different if Chris Paul were to get there and then kind of come up small. But I didn't have any thinking that he was going to, and he's already dispelled any notion of that right out of the gates. On the other side, though, for Giannis, it was a little interesting to me, because this is a guy, I mean, narrative-wise, they say it about Chris Paul too, can he win, can he finally win a chip? But for Giannis, he's right on the precipice of the prime of his career. And if you want to talk about just the next wave of big superstars and even the storylines around Giannis and getting over that hump, having that killer instinct, all those things, I do think that if Giannis were to win this year, it would start the cornerstone of him being one of the most dominant players in NBA history. Now could get cemented into place. It would never, to your point, take away from his legacy if he just kept playing the way he has. He'd still go down as one of the all-time greats. But if he never won a chip, that you just say, there he is, one of the all-time greats. He's maybe a Charles Barkley, as opposed to, I don't know, you know, the Michael Jordans, the LeBrons, all these other players that we talk about. He'll be 28. If he wins this one, It's not far-fetched to think that you can retool this roster over as the years go on, and he can win two or three or four championships in his career potentially. And that does excite me just from an NBA fan standpoint. Give me the next guy that is going to be able to go on maybe one of these big runs. Chris Paul, to your point, he's just trying to tack on that last little feather in the cap, I think, as opposed to Giannis, who's on the precipice of something here.
Well, penciling Giannis for three to four championships, like the Heatles over there. Not one, not two.
Maybe not in this incarnation of the team. I'm just, you know, as time moves along, maybe in a different uniform. We don't know what happens down the road, Doug.
Like I said, I want all these guys to win. I'm just that kind of person. I when it comes to sports, when it comes to these kind of storylines, I think the NBA is kind of just chocked full of guys you can really root for. And so when it comes to this level of, you know, when it comes to actually the championship, there just are, I'm not kidding when I say I want both teams to win. I feel that way. I want, because for the reasons you're saying, is, and while, yes, they're on different timelines. Yes, Giannis is younger. Yes, he has a chance to have this be, you know, the beginning of the you know, better part of his legacy rather than the coda here at the end. And it's a little different for Paul, because he's not just getting in the twilight of his career and kind of hanging on to somebody else. He's the best player in the team too, so it's not like he just grabbed on to somebody else to kind of win. You know, when he didn't go ring hunting at the end by taking him
mid level. Not Carl Malone on the Lakers.
Yeah, like, I mean, frankly, like Blake, it's not bad. But it's just where these guys. Well, it's funny too, because they're on this. You know, if you look back at their careers, going back to the Clippers, Blake, but definitely, they were different. I think we could agree that they have different roles in their team, their current teams right now, right?
So yes.
I think if we're going to say it that way, so it's not like Chris Paul just did this. He's the best player on the team, also, and so with Giannis, I think that this would clearly put him in that discussion. I think it would. You can't win a championship with Giannis as your best player. So that would dispel all those silly notions. The reason I hate the argument is because those notions technically are true. It just misses the point where that makes the championship the be all end all. And I dislike it, but hey, when you talk about poops and you talk about sports, I get it. It comes with the territory. I totally understand that. I wish we were able to just dial it back a little bit. And then, hey, we talked to a whole episode about legacy here, so maybe we're culprits too.
well, maybe. I said, we're going to get into, as we get out the door, into Joe Harris next, as far as the Nets offseason and what his contract looks like, diving into his regular season and postseason performance. But the quick little thing, because Booker is obviously also like a rising star inside of this series, you'd say. He's a part of the next wave of talent. Is there any comp? I don't think there is. There's no comparable player on the Nets as like a young guy that isn't there yet, but maybe has a real opportunity to do something. I mean, like, how do you view Booker inside of this? Just as like a good player that, you know, could he be in Chris Paul's shoes a decade from now, or is it just impossible? Yeah, I mean, I would assume you can't say that given what Chris Paul has been. But just in terms of building blocks, boy, if Booker won a championship this year at this age, he'd at least, you know, he'd feel like he has a lot to hang his hat on going forward.
He's great. I don't put him in this next group of guys right now. Maybe he gets there at some point. I don't think he's there. He's very not lucky. He's a beneficiary, like Ayton, of having Chris Paul come over to this team. And so,
yeah.
I think Booker's awesome to watch. I think he's a great player. I do not put him in that next group of guys, and maybe he gets there. He's still pretty young. So
there's no Bobby Portis.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's not Pat Connaughton. Come on. I definitely don't put him in that group of guys. I don't think anyone would have really before this. I think he's had some ascension pieces because of how good the Bucks have been this year, and he's also probably gotten moved up the list a little bit further than he should be, only because Chris Paul is on the team, and it sounds like a knock. It's not. It's just when you get down to the top 20 guys or whatever in basketball, it gets sliced pretty thin. So no, Booker. I don't think Booker is part of the same conversation. Like you said, we're going to talk about Joe Harris tomorrow. What that offseason, if anything, can look like. Kind of look back on his season as well. Make the case for, you know, keeping Joe Harris around, or maybe he's thinking maybe this is not a total fit. We'll talk about that all tomorrow. In the meantime, rate and review the podcast wherever you listen, like and subscribe. It helps the podcast numbers grow even during the offseason. So appreciative of everyone out there that continues to check in with us on the Locked On Nets podcast. See those numbers through the season, even through the offseason. It's really great, and you can help the show by visiting our sponsors and also liking and subscribing wherever you listen.
And don't forget, friends, just a couple days left on the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey. You're featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and the Odyssey NBA experts, Brian Scalabrine, and former general manager, Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will be making selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams, the Brooklyn Nets, throughout this week-long special event. And again, just a couple days left here. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts needs fulfilled. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matters to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-E, Odyssey. And Doug mentioned it earlier today. Why not bring it back? Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Ferris Bueller. Bueller.
Oh, I screwed that up. I said that was Wooderson before, and I was in a dazed and confused mindset. So, yeah, embarrassing. I'm going to leave it in as a punishment to myself to be as better should, next yeah. time. But yeah, but one of the all-time great poets, one Mr. Ferris Bueller, we'll be back again tomorrow, talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.